When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday morning, our first show of fall, and it already feels like it out there. Woke up this morning, put on, I've actually been wearing jeans since Saturday, so I've made the conversion. I was trying to hold off till October, but I went and broke down mainly because of the rain, and I'm glad because the brewery where they were holding that horror convention on Saturday, where I was a little chilly, so I'm glad that I should have brought a hoodie, but wanted to show off my Creature Double Feature t-shirt. And then yesterday, when I went to the final wrestling match ever for Teddy Goods, you know, I was like, well, it's a little in between. I'll wear jeans. I'll bring a jacket. Didn't bring the jacket in, but wish I had brought it for walking out. We're in that in-between phase. So this morning I said, I'm just going to wear jeans and bring my jacket, light jacket. And that's probably a good plan for you as well. It's going to be like this throughout the course of the week. We have made the transition into fall. It's almost like once the equinox came, the weather said we're going to comply. So well, there was a question that came up in the first hour, as you know, you heard Phil mention, and we've been talking about throughout the course of the morning, bulls on parade in North Attleboro as eight bulls escaped the rodeo that was in the parking lot of the Emerald Square Mall. Now, from what I understand, there's not a lot of things going on at the Emerald Square Mall these days. People are notoriously ragging on the mall on social media. And the funny part is the comments on this were less about the bulls and the rodeo and more about like dumping on the mall. And one of the comments that I saw was, you know, Even the bulls don't want to be at the Emerald Square Mall, like they're running away. So whatever it is that are the issues that people have with the mall, they're trying to do some different events to bring people in. And one of them was this rodeo to celebrate Central American culture. And so eight bulls escaped, and you can see the video at WBSM.com and on the app. These bulls run away, and they are flying down this stretch of grass that's right next to US Route 1, and they're not that far from, I believe, Interstate 295. So you've got a lot of cars that run the risk of a bull striking them. And as I said earlier, car versus bull, the car might win, but the bull's going to do some damage. And in fact, the car might not win. So all of this going on, Mary called in the first hour, and she wanted to know, you know, can I get bull steaks? Do people eat bulls? And so I looked it up and found out some information. Yes, and it's delicious. A lot of beef enthusiasts nationwide may not be aware of the deeply robust flavor of bull meat, but in Europe, they became aware years and years ago. Eating bull meat has a long and storied history across the ocean, particularly in bullfighting communities. And according to some of the answers I got from Google, it's part of the culinary tradition in some religions. And there's probably somewhere around here that you can get bull meat if you really wanted to. Some people say that the bull tastes better and is more tender if it's never had breeding experience. I don't know if that part is true. Oh, this is interesting. So we eat bull all the time, apparently. I don't know why I didn't think of this. A steer is a castrated bull. So, yeah, we do eat them. But I guess an intact bull is more flavorful, and I'm going to just leave it at that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Tim, you are so funny.
I'm just trying to present the facts as I read them.
But you know what? This is exactly why I called in. So you just took my win from my sale. Yes, we eat it. People don't realize that. Your some of your steaks is bull meat.
Because yeah, because steer is just a bull. You know, they've got the horns. Right. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Yes. Yep.
It's probably because bulls are usually such a different looking animal than the meat cows, the meat steers.
Right. Well, because, you know, the horns, the whole thing. Yeah, no, we eat. Yeah. You're having it all the time. Probably don't even realize it.
But I think Mary wants to get herself one of those, you know, non-castrated, still full of flavor bulls.
Well, listen, the one thing about bulls, and this is terrible to say, but it's done in other countries. I don't know if we do it here, but the more you aggravate the animals, you get them revved up. A certain hormone comes out of them. And it automatically makes the meat tender. So that's when you want to kill them.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's nothing more that aggravates a bull than a bull riding competition, which is what they were doing Sunday at this rodeo.
Yeah, amazing. Listen, I would love to ride a bull to work. Well, I can't get the job yet because of, good news. I got my results from my back and I'm seeing them tomorrow. They called me and said, come in tomorrow. So I'm so happy. So I got my car insurance bill, $187 a month. Like, what are you kidding me? Like, I'm paying for bad drivers now. Oh my God. So I'd rather be on a bull. And then I know, my bull can take so much damage and, you know.
Isn't the world record for riding a bull like less than 10 seconds though? Like you wouldn't be able to get to work on the bull.
No, there's big competitions. Goes longer than that. Absolutely longer.
I don't think, wasn't that movie about with Luke Perry was called 8 Seconds, because that was like the world record at the time.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Tim. I don't know. I never even seen the movie.
I never saw it either. I just remember it coming out. And this is like 30 years ago, so.
Oh, yeah. No. Mm-mm. I'm going to change my car insurance. I'm with Hartford and they say, they got your, what's that, a commercial, right? We got your back, the buck's got your back, meaning the animal, you know? So, I'm quitting them. I got to find maybe, was that a Progressive or something?
Well, I get my insurance through Geico and yeah, for my car, which is a 2011, I pay about $135 a month.
Yeah, my car's a 2008.
Yeah, so you'd probably be right around the same. I mean, my problem is, you know, I went from, you know, I was paying like $85 a month. And then when the insurance went up for everybody, mine went up to $135. But I don't find that to be, you know, insane. But also, I'm just a single car policy, so I don't have other vehicles on it.
Well, when I gave my husband's car away, I took that off. My insurance for both cars was, I think, like $168. Then, and I do full coverage on all because I don't need to be taking the court for medical bills. I just, you know, have the best. And so anyways, I got rid of, well, I gave the car away, and my insurance went down only to $161. This was last year. I said, what are you kidding me? Now my policy picks back up in October, and it's $187. And on my policy also, if there's a Mexico coverage, the country, Mexico.
Well, just tell them you're not going to be driving to Mexico.
I know, like, what's up? I'm paying for Mexicans. I don't get this. But anyways, I'm getting rid of them. And that's the other one I was trying to think of, Geico and Progressive. I'll go with them. This is killing me. Like, what if I have an accident and then I get 3 points? I'll be in the 200s. Like, are you kidding me?
Usually you can, if you haven't had an accident, you can usually negotiate that with them. It's not an automatic surcharge.
Yeah, no, the Hartford is horrible. That's all I got to say about that.
I've had good experiences with Geico. They have an app so that if you need roadside assistance, you just put it in on the app. And I've used it a few times. A couple times I had a dead battery, and then I got a flat tire once and couldn't get the old tire off, so I had to call them to come and help me. But other than that, it was, you know, I've had no problems with the service. It's just, you know, I pay $135 a month, so.
Right, $135, right. I mean, that insurance went up everywhere, like you said. So, but the roadside assistant comes with them, or is that like a separate cost?
Nope, because comes with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it's limited roadside assistance. So like if you need a tow, they're not going to tow you wherever you want to go. They'll tow you to the nearest place, but I think you can pay a little extra for it. At one point I had AAA Plus and the Geico at the same time because I was waiting for my AAA Plus to expire. So I can't remember which one. I know AAA Plus I could go within, I think, 100 miles, but I don't remember what the Geico one is.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, because that's what I got to do today. I got to call both of them, see who's going to do me better. And
is that the only insurance you have, or do you have like homeowners insurance or renter's insurance or anything like that?
No.
Are you a renter or a homeowner?
I'm a renter.
So I talk to them when you are adding in, when you're doing your auto policy. Talk to them about getting renter's insurance, because first of all, it's worth having in case anything goes wrong. But also the package deal might be cheaper than just the car on its own.
Okay. So with the renters, do they come in and appraise your stuff?
Like, no, they just had me send them a list of what I wanted to put on there as possibilities. And then they would have told me anything that they weren't going to cover, but they didn't deny anything that I put on there, which all that I really put on there was I think my television, a couple of video game systems, computers, nothing major.
Your electronics. Yeah. Well, the stuff that I have that I think is valuable, I'm going to try to really be very good about selling them in the next 6 months. Get it, just find somebody that's going to be honest with an appraisal and then sell them. I just got to figure out how I go about selling them.
Well, Kojo said that they will appraise your toys for you. So,
oh, that's right. Thank you. I forgot about that. About them being able to appraise. I wish I could have went. I wanted to see that event so bad. But that's okay.
It was a fun one. They'll have another event coming up there in, I think he said in March. They'll be back at Voc-Tech, but they'll have other events coming up in the coming weeks. They put on something, I think, pretty much once a month.
Oh, I'm so excited to know that. Wow. And one final last question, and then I'll go, because I know I'm over my 3 minutes. So how do I go ahead and, because I know your walk is on the 6th, so I want to go ahead and donate. I don't want to wait till last minute. So how do I do that?
They take the donations on the southcoast.org website. So that links you over to it.
Okay, so that's all I type in is
southcoast.org, and then you're going to look for the Podkawa 5K, the Podkawa 5K like page on there.
Okay. Can you just send that over to me on my email?
I will. You know what? I'll send you the direct donation link.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, I will do that probably, if not during the show, right after.
Yeah, and hey, what happened to Crisscross? And now I'll go.
One of them died.
Oh, no. Tell me about it after. I gotta let you go. I know I do.
I'll get all the details on it, but I remember one of them passed away.
Okay.
So well, one of them is now totally crossed out.
Oh, damn. I see where you went with that.
Well, that was their album, so it's... Okay. You have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
508-996-05. So, somewhere somebody is saying, Tim, that joke was wiggity, 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 whack. So I apologize. I will update you on Crisscross and all things 90s coming up. We're going to be taking a break in just a couple of minutes. But a reminder, before we do take that break, it is 8 o'clock. This is the first break of the 8 o'clock hour. So you may be wanting to listen for a certain three numbers that are coming up in this break. And when you hear them, you're going to want to go to WBSM.com or the WBSM app and enter those three numbers in on the Money Talks page. And you could be entered to win, you will be entered to win $30,000. What are you going to do with $30,000? Well, you wouldn't have to worry about what your car insurance is going to cost for the year, because you could just pay that bill all at once. You could probably go on eBay and get yourself some vintage Crisscross clothes that you can wear backwards, if that's what you want to do. You might even be able to hold on to some of that money for next year and buy yourself new Kids on the Block tickets for when they come back around. Those are just some suggestions I would make based on our conversations tomorrow. You could order a whole lot of bull steaks with $30,000. But enough talking about it. Let's get you entered for it right now. We'll be back in a few moments. I'm just so fly, a young, lovable, huggable type of guy. And everything is to the back with a little slack. Because inside out, it's wiggity, 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 whack. I come stopping with something pumping to keep you jumping. R&B, rapping, bull crap is what I'm dumping. Ain't nothing suck about Crisscross, we all at. So when the eggs do they rock, say believe it. Jump, jump. The Mac Dad make you up. Jump, jump. And welcome back in. That is Crisscross, Jump. And, Skeddy had asked what happened to Crisscross. Well, they had gone away for a few years in the early 2000s, but then made a comeback. But then in 2013, Chris Mac Daddy Kelly died of a drug overdose. And so that was the end of Crisscross. But they obviously burst onto the scene in 1992 with Totally Crossed Out. That was a huge smash. They also had a couple that were kind of big. I would say Warm It Up was probably, you know, pretty close to that. I'd have to look up the chart position, but Warm It Up was pretty good. And then I Missed the Bus. Those all came off the first album, but then they kind of waned a little bit after that. They did go on tour with Michael Jackson on the European leg of his Dangerous tour, which was a huge spot for them. And they were in videos for Run DMC and TLC. They were on A Different World and In Living Color. Like, they were all over the place. They had that Sprite commercial, because I like the Sprite in you, you know. And they came out with another album in 1993 that also went platinum. Their third album in 96 went gold. But then after that, things kind of waned a little bit. And then when Chris Kelly died in Atlanta in 2013, that was kind of the end of the group. But he apparently had a history of drug abuse. It is something that he had battled for quite a while. And, you know, that can happen when people have success at a young age. And imagine the money that they were making. And then to have, you know, all of that kind of go away. And then they struggled for relevance for a long time. They came back in 2007 and were active till 2013. But, you know, never reach the heights of success that they had when they were little kids. And that can be rough for an adult trying to make their way in the world to be like, yeah, we liked you when you were a kid, when you were a little adorable kid. But now, when you were a young, huggable, lovable type of guy, as the lyrics say, but now we don't really care about you anymore. Like, that can be hard. I just watched the documentary on Peacock on Gary Coleman. And you can see the effect that it had on him to be typecast as, you know, little Arnold Jackson for his entire life. And the fact that he didn't grow any because of his kidney disease, he could never really shake that image. It wasn't like he was, you know, Selena Gomez, able to grow up from your childhood acting career and then move on to more adult roles because you've become an adult. Instead, you are, I mean, and then there's a number of child actors who have done that in recent years. She's one of them. Ryan Reynolds is one of them. He started on a Canadian show called 15 that used to be on Nickelodeon as a kid. I mean, there's Ryan Gosling, tons of them have done it in recent years because we've realized that we have to give young kids better support. And unfortunately, they didn't have that. All right, we've got to go to the break. We'll be back after the, to the news, rather. After the news, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. We can also take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails. But right now, let me turn things over to Phil Devitt in the newsroom.
Trump says if he loses in November, don't expect him to run again. One dead after a mid-air collision in California. And new kids on the block have a new place to hang tough.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump says he doesn't think he would run for office again if he loses in November. Mark Mayfield has more.
Trump made the comment during an interview Sunday on the weekly news show Full Measure. He added, "I think hopefully we're going to be successful." When asked about the possibility of appointing Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to cabinet positions if he wins, Trump said it's too early yet, but did not rule anyone out. The Trump campaign did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The White House is urging restraint by both Israel and Hezbollah as tensions escalate in the Middle East. In an interview with ABC's This Week, National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby said both sides should rein in their military activity to avoid a wider war.
We don't believe, continue to not believe, that kinetic action, military action by either side is really in either side's best interest, certainly not in the interest of what the prime minister says he wants to do, which is get families back to their home.
Kirby said the U.S. is working to de-escalate the situation and achieve peace, but acknowledged there's been no significant progress recently toward a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Authorities in Birmingham, Alabama, believe Saturday night's mass shooting was a paid targeted hit. Police Chief Scott Thurman said he believes the targeted individual was among the four who were killed. He added that investigators are still trying to determine how many shooters were involved. In addition to the dead, at least 18 were injured. One pilot is dead and one is uninjured after two small vintage airplanes collided in midair in Lancaster, California. Tammy Peterson witnessed the deadly crash while sitting in her parked car.
Then all of a sudden we heard this poof, and I looked over there because I thought it was a motorcycle racing in the dirt, and I saw and I said, oh my God, it's an airplane.
The collision happened just before 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, causing both planes to crash land with no passengers aboard. Whooping cough cases are on the rise in the United States. Scott Carr has details.
The Centers for Disease Control reports there have been over 14,500 confirmed cases of whooping cough so far this year in the U.S. That's four times, they say, as many cases compared to last year's total number of cases. Health officials attribute the surge to missed vaccinations during the COVID-19 pandemic. The president-elect of the Infectious Diseases Society of America says there have also been outbreaks in children who were not vaccinated because of an increase in vaccine hesitancy that stems from the pandemic. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
And Massachusetts' own New Kids on the Block are headed for Sin City. The group announced their first ever Las Vegas residency, which kicks off June 20th of 2025 and runs through November of next year. Tickets go on sale to the general public on Friday.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox swept their doubleheader with the Twins after collecting an 8-1 victory in the first game and a 9-3 win in the nightcap at Fenway. Boston visits the Toronto Blue Jays for a three-game series that begins this evening.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Monday morning. Mostly cloudy skies and temperatures in the upper 50s. 64 will be the high this afternoon under mostly cloudy skies. Low 70s is the average normal temperature. We are well below average. Mostly cloudy, upper 50s overnight. The cloud cover will continue, and that is thanks to that onshore flow. We're looking forward to a warming trend as we head into the weekend. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Now, there's a song you probably forgot about. As much as everybody remembers Crisscross as those young kids that had a hip-hop hit, Another Bad Creation was even younger than they were. And they were signed by Boston's own Michael Bivins of New Edition and Belle Biv DeVoe, part of the East Coast family that he had with ABC, BBD, Boyz II Men. So, yeah, I don't know what happened to them, but that song was pretty big, Aisha, but you probably forgot about it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Man, it's tough to hear the news about the whooping cough. You know, that used to be a disease that you didn't need to be afraid of because they came up with a vaccine for it. And to hear that people are still, you know, anti-vaxxers and that they're going to avoid saving their lives and the lives of their neighbors by getting a vaccine is pitiful, you know, to imagine that civilization could fall to superstition. And, yeah, it's just a dang shame. You know, one of the things that I was interested in today, were you ever a journalist specifically?
That's how I started, and I still am. I still consider myself one.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, so the whole theme that, you know, a journalist is not supposed to take money from the people that they're investigating on the issue. And back in the 90s, Rupert Murdoch basically inculcated his way into the United States and started tricking the news departments, and especially the big corporate, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, into forcing the news departments to make a profit, that they had to fire the reporters in order to make a profit. And so that left the remaining so-called journalists, the ones that basically were taking money for, spinning a story. And so America has been trapped for, going on 30 years now, that the news departments are taking money from the advertisers to spin stories. And one of the scams that we got tricked with years ago was that government needs to be run like a business. Well, now that's a big lie. Government should never be run like a business. Government should be run like a nonprofit. And a nonprofit, you know, if you want your sewer department to run right, you don't want somebody taking profits on the side and then having the sewage running the streets or running the river, doing whatever's the cheapest rather than doing it right. And you don't want the library run that way. You don't want the schools run that way. You don't want, start naming the departments of government. And so everybody all the way up to the Supreme Court have fallen for this big lie that government should be run like a business. And the Supreme Court's recent rulings are basically along the lines that if it's not profitable for business, then it's not worth doing. And so we've been, I don't know how you've ever had to face that, you know, as a journalist, but the idea that we, you know, we the people own this country and we're supposed to have proper management of it, and we're not getting proper management because this big lie was propounded going on 30 years ago.
Well, in our case, I mean, you know, working at the local level, you don't really run into the same issue as much. But I mean, here on the radio station, there's been times when we've had to write negative stories, news stories about advertisers, you know, something that might have happened in a bar that advertises with us or something. And right. I can tell you our rule of thumb here is that we don't let the advertising side of things get in the way of the editorial side of things. So if a story needs to be told, the story needs to be told. There's a thick wall dividing the two. But the bigger problem with a lot of that is that the entertainment companies that own these news networks now, as they've become more conglomerated, they don't sink the money into the news because it's not as profitable. So they don't give it its due, and then they have to create this entertainment news as a way to get some of those advertisers. I got to hold you there because I got a bunch of other calls, but you have a great day. And let me go to these calls here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Let me do a little counterpoint to the last caller on both points. So that whooping cough ABC News clip that you just heard talking, you know, which was basically saying that, you know, whooping cough is happening more and more because people aren't taking vaccines or that they're afraid of vaccines or whatever. That may definitely be a part of it, but also a part of it has to be that there's millions of more people coming into the country that don't have vaccines, have whooping cough and other diseases. And that's another reason why this is all ticking up. And it's not just whooping cough, there's other diseases also. But I'm just saying, when you hear that ABC news piece, the first thing I thought was, well, there's a promotional piece for Pfizer and everybody else that's selling the vaccine as a solution. The other thing is, and people have their choice, obviously. Our kids have had vaccines, so I'm not anti-vax. But you just have to hear what's in the news. The other thing was the advertising piece he was talking about. I mean, a lot of media has moved to, because of the online piece, even WBSM, you guys are writing articles, promoting it, and that there's a great source of income. It's just the income source has changed for the media sources. So they're looking for, they're not just reporting news the way that Walter Cronkite did. They're looking for ways to create more online content and advertising as well. So, I mean, it's not Rupert Murdoch changed the world. The world is changing in media. So it's, easily take a look.
I would say Fox did kind of set some of that tone, but you could say that tone started even before that because people weren't tuning into the nightly news to get their information anymore. And so wherever people are getting that news from, you're now competing with that for whatever dollars are going to go into it. And unfortunately, you know, people also want to be entertained at the same time as getting that information. So that's why on our sites, we try to have a balance of that. We know the news coverage, say, isn't a moneymaker, for a lack of a better term. So we give you other stories that we know that you'll care about and you'll share around and that people will come back to us for, and so that we can give you things that are, you know, also a break from some of the hard news as well.
No, I think it, you know, a lot of news is getting local. So, you know, being able to understand what's going on with your neighbors and neighboring communities through something like what WBSM does on the app works really well. And you're seeing more of that, the Fall River Reporter, and a lot of media has changed to online or like YouTube media, other direct sources. There was a report also about Trump not seeking another term not going to try to go for a reelect, not trying to go if he doesn't win, that he would not try to seek another term. And that was done on through Cheryl Atkinson's reports, which she's on CBS, but she is an independent writer. She's written as many left wing stories as right wing stories, if you want to kind of, you know, position it that way. And I think, you know, when you're looking for good media, someone like Cheryl Atkinson, I totally trust. I mean, she is an independent and you know, raises that banner. So anyway.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Have a great day.
And I did just do a little look up here on, you know, anybody who is an immigrant into this country and applies for that status. So anybody who is looking to get, trying to get documented or is trying to get, you know, relief status, anybody who's trying to stay in the country in some form of legal way. Obviously, if people are coming in and not checking in at all, they're not applying for, you know, they're not applying for anything, then they're not going to be under this watch. But anybody who does have to be, they either have to show immunization records or be immunized against pertussis, whooping cough being one of them, as well as mumps, measles, rubella, polio, tetanus, a certain type of influenza, hepatitis B, COVID-19, and any other vaccine-preventable diseases. So if people are applying for sanctuary status, if they are applying for, you know, any kind of hopefully getting into the pipeline to become a legal citizen, they do have to apply for all this again. But not everybody does. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How are you?
Hey, a couple of calls ago, you said that the government should not be run like a business, should be run as a nonprofit. I understand what he's saying with that, but it still needs to be run like a business. It can't be run amok. And any subcontractor working from the government certainly should be run like a business looking for a profit. Otherwise, you're really not going to exist. And you have to have a business structure to run a government. You can't just wing it. Nonprofits are business as well, and they're run just like a business. And so I'm not really sure the point he was trying to get across with that.
Right. I was thinking the same thing, because really a nonprofit is just a business that has tax-exempt status.
Right. So you do have to run it like a business, or you're going to run it amok, one or the other, you know. But I couldn't see any other viewpoint other than that he was trying to get across. But so you kind of feel the same way, obviously.
I do. Like you, I got his point. I got what he was trying to say. But also, you know, people are going to point to, well, nonprofits, you know, one of the arguments against them is they usually have inflated salaries for the people that are at the top. And the money they collect goes to administrative costs and not to the direct cause that they're trying to help. That these are the criticisms that they have. So.
No, absolutely, and I agree. And it's also still under a business structure, too, as well, you know.
Yeah.
But that was the only point I wanted to make. Thank you, and keep up the good work, Tim. Always good to have you on.
All right, have a good day. And let's take one more here before I got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. I'm just going to reiterate what pretty much everybody else was talking about with a little bit of more of a caveat. Nonprofits are corporations. They are, because they are created as a corporation to protect the board of directors. And essentially our government is formed like a government, specifically with the president being the chief executive and the Congress being like the board of directors. And that's the same whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit. Everything's run like a business where you have, profit and loss, basically. And in nonprofit, your profit kind of category would actually just go to the people. It wouldn't go as a profit line, basically.
Right. If you are running a business and you make an extreme amount of money, all of a sudden, you know, then you want to divide that money, if you're doing things the right way, amongst the people who work for you. You want to, and it's the same way with the government, is if the government had a surplus of money coming in, you'd want to see them share that with the taxpayers.
Right, or get a tax break where the shareholders don't have to pay in as much.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like what Massachusetts did, right? In Massachusetts, we had an excess a few years ago, and we all got a tax rebate in the state of Massachusetts. So that's how it should work as a nonprofit. Nonprofits and for-profit are essentially the same. They run exactly the same, just one does not have a profit and the other one does. On that note, though, a lot of people on the left, they talk about democratic socialism and the Bernie Bros and, you know, Bernie Sanders and Scandinavia and all this, saying that they are a democratic socialist country. Those are not socialist countries. Canada is not a socialist country. They all need rich people and profitable businesses in order to fund their welfare state. So in order to create that utopia that they want, that Scandinavia, Sweden, Finland, the UK and Canada want, that they have, if you want to create that, you have to have profitable businesses, successful capitalism in order to fund your socialist utopia or your quote unquote socialist utopia. That's what a lot of people on the far left and the progressives seem to forget. You need capitalism to fund your social programs.
That's why I think there's a medium that has to be reached. I won't say happy medium because nobody's happy about having to pay more, but there's a medium that can be reached where instead of being the full out, you know, Kamala Harris approach of we're going to make sure that we get every, you know, rich person to pay their fair share and every corporation to pay their fair share so we can give tax breaks to the middle class and the lower class. Okay, right. Fine. But you should be able to do that without having to whack those businesses to the fullest degree, right, as well.
Correct, correct. So what I think the solution is, unfortunately, the left doesn't want to hear this, so you got to get more of a flat tax and simplified tax versus a progressive tax. See, in Massachusetts, we're a very successful state in regards to that. We have a flat tax, income tax, and we're very successful. I think in comparison to Louisiana and Mississippi. Louisiana and Mississippi have progressive taxes, and a lot of people don't even realize that at the state level. Their actual income tax rate is very low, but it is progressive. It gets higher as you earn more. So progressive tax is essentially what China has, right? It's a very socialist, you're going to punish the people who earn more money. So if you want to make things fair, you go with a flat tax rate across the board with a, say, $25,000 initial tax exemption. Everybody's first $25,000, kind of like how it is now, everybody's first $25,000 is tax exempt at the federal level. And then you pay, say, 20% on every dollar all the way up to, $1 trillion. It's everybody pays the same. I think that's the best way to get around it. And so you're not getting into that socialist kind of utopia, that the democratic socialist, mindset. Well, I think that's the wrong way to go in regards to like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Let me just ask you about this. So on that first $25,000, would you say that that applies for every income source or just the total overall income of the person?
No, when you file your taxes, your first $25,000 is tax exempt. So it's your
because the
words is escaping me right now. When you file your taxes, you have your first $20,000 mm-hmm. or $25,000 for a family is exempt from federal tax.
Right. But if you my thinking here though is like, so if somebody works a full-time job and then they work a part-time job, if you made that part-time job tax exempt because they're already paying taxes on the full-time income that they're earning already. This is money that they had to go out because they weren't making enough to begin with. If you made that second job tax exempt, I think you would save a lot of families a lot of money without really hurting the economy that much.
Well, I think that's what we're getting at right now, where your first $25,000 would be, you don't pay federal tax, mm-hmm. whether it's a part-time job or a full-time job. It doesn't matter. Your first $25,000, say you have a full-time job, you're earning $30,000. And your part-time job, you're earning 10, right? Your first $25,000 is tax exempt. And you pay your 20% on the next $15,000.
But the downside to that is if the person only works one job where they make $25,000 a year, they're not paying any taxes. So I think if you did this, it sounds better from a marketing standpoint, the way that I'm putting it, I think.
Yeah, you could market it any way you want, but I think that's the best way to go because the whole idea that we need to be more like Scandinavia and as an idea that, Bernie Sanders likes to push that all the time. We need to be like Sweden. Sweden is heavy in oil. They make a lot of money in oil and a lot of that profit funds their welfare state. It's not a socialist country. They have a very large free market economy that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
Yeah. No, I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but thank you for the call.
You got it, Tim.
You have a good day. I do have to take this break. Oh, sorry. I do have to take this break, but we should be able to take another call or two, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Absolutely my favorite song of the new Jack Swing era. It Feels Good by Tony. Tony with an I, Tony with a Y, Tony with an E.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold, LLC.